quite special because we have Matt in the house. He's been joining us with his family in the parking lot, but he's in the house tonight. And actually, it's three generations, right, that come with you. Your wife's folks and your kids and your wife. So, yeah. And it's also special because we have Sue Porcari is in the house. Yeah. Tony, her daughter, Tony's in the kitchen with Nolan and special precautions for Nolan. I mean, he's in a wheelchair. So don't go in the kitchen without a mask. First of all, you're here, so just stay here. But then after the service, let's give them time to, you know, collect their stuff and clear out before we go in and have ice cream, hopefully. Anyways, yeah. We had a great time, Larry's Bible study today at from 2 to 4. It was sweet. I was able to join them. And looking forward. We're going to hear from Pastor Handel either this Sunday or the following Sunday. I'm not sure which. But he has a message that he did bring. He actually brought it at a men's breakfast. Oh, men's breakfast this Saturday, too. So men's breakfast and then a work day following. And then, weather permitting, well, there will be evangelism in the afternoon, but then the Karowski's housewarming if it doesn't rain on us. And we're praying it doesn't because some people want to go to a concert the following Saturday night. The McClurgs are playing up at Sacandaga Bible Conference. So some people know the McClurgs. If you know them, you probably love them. They are like a cross between, like, they look like, undescribable. I can't find the right. Yeah, but they are anointed. They have a unique sound. Great voices. They sing some favorites. They sing. I think they sing some originals as well. But sweet worship. Could you call it funk Jesus? I don't know. Country. It's not country. It's not contemporary. It's like their own little thing they got going. But it's wonderful. Little bluegrass. It's a mashup. Yeah, it's all mashed up. Anyways, but they're sweet brothers in the Lord, and their hearts after God come through in their music. You know, they're not just performing; they are worshiping and leading people in worship. So I hope to be there at that concert too. So, Father, thank you for what we've heard already, for the testimony. And Father, for what we're going to hear right now, Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear, hearts and minds to receive. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Psalm 139. We're going to read 10 verses, and then we're going to focus in on 2 of the 10 verses. In Psalm, no, did I say, where did I put, I wrote the wrong stuff down in my notes. Oh, that's because I'm in my wrong notes. I got to turn the page. Psalm 34. Yeah, there we go. Psalm 34. The title is Deliverance from All Fears. Yeah, for such a time as this. Have you noticed people driving down the highway in a car all by themselves with their mask on? It's like maybe they love the smell of their breath. I don't know. What they're trying to stay safe from, I really don't know. Safe from themselves, it's too late, right? You got you. Anyways, yeah. So, you know, now we had a little fun with that because obviously that's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. First of all, be kind and sweet, whether people are wearing masks or not wearing masks. It's opportunities for us to be kind and sweet and loving and supportive. And, you know, everyone's got a different risk factor and everyone's got a different comfort factor level. So, I just got to remember that. So the other end of the spectrum, Sanji came over to our house on Sunday night. And she had her mask. It was black mesh. Like fat mesh, like big holes in it like this. And there was a skull and crossbones knit into the right. Like, and so she's sweet as could be, but there's an edge there. She said, nobody's giving her a hard time with her mask. She wears it wherever she's got to go to wear a mask. I'm like, really? Okay. So hey, you got to have fun with it, you know? There's too many people are really, really uptight with this. Yeah, I understand. You know, my daughter Lydia, and most of you already know, we've prayed for her many times. Every time she goes to work, it's COVID in her face. She's running ventilators for people that are trying to stay alive. So, and we have other healthcare workers that, you know, exposure is just part of their daily job. But so, Father, have mercy. Thank you for keeping us safe so far. Lord, we ask you to continue to keep us safe, Father. And for those that are suffering, Father, we ask that you would bring healing, Father, and comfort. Father, many have lost loved ones, yes. And we do ask you to help us, Lord, to be kind, considerate, and minister love and grace and compassion every opportunity we have, everywhere we can. Father, in Jesus. And Father, we ask you, those that are going to have a hurricane in their house in a few hours, Lord, down in Louisiana and Texas, have mercy. Father, we ask that you would help people get to safety. Father, as they scramble in all the chaos to get out of the way of this storm, Father, we ask that you would work wonders. Lord, that you would, in the midst of it all, let your people shine, Father, and help. And those that are that don't know you, Father, that are awakened to their own frailty, again, human frailty, Father, we ask you to save souls in the midst of this impending, damaging storm and life-threatening storm, Father. And bless Pastor Chris Moore and the church there in the Houston area and your people everywhere in that, in the danger zone, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 34. First 10 verses say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. We'll come back to that. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around, all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Thing is in italics there. It says good thing, but that's italicized. Not lack any good. So the context here definitely adds to the meaning of it, because this is written by a king. Well, he had been anointed as king, but he wasn't king yet. He was on the run. Saul was hunting him. Saul and the army, Saul, those that were loyal to Saul, were hunting him like an animal. He was running for his life. He ran to Abimelech to take shelter, you know, among the enemy, the Philistines. And he got there and he realizes, I think this is a bad idea. So just before he went in to go see the king, he started acting crazy. He spit, dribbled, drooled all down in his beard. And he was scratching on the door and acting like a, you know, total lunatic. And they brought him in, and he was just like acting all spazzed out. It was just a big show because he wanted the king. He just wanted to get out of there, but that's the best he could do to get out of here, just act crazy, and they'll just throw me out rather than kill me, because you know, he's the one that killed Goliath, their hero. So, you know, he gets his audience with Abimelech. Abimelech goes, get this guy out of here. And they throw him out, and he's like, goes away, and he writes this psalm. And he's so happy that God delivered him. Now, the result of it, you could say, man, you were a mess, David. You're running from King Saul. You're going to the enemy. Now you're acting crazy and because you realized you made a mistake in the midst of it, and then you act like a lunatic just to get out of it. But the result is we get a divinely inspired psalm. The result is that he realizes that God delivered him from all of his fears. Now he's living in fear. He's running, scared. He has moments of you know, bravery and grace. I mean, he cuts Saul's skirt off, and then holds it up. He really does his best to make peace. And there's a moment there where, you know, Saul repents. And so if all this is strange to you, you need to read your Old Testament a little more, okay? Now, if you're with me on this, you've read your Old Testament, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but that's okay. But David writes that God delivered me from all my fears. Now, fears are part of the human experience. And David had his share of them. But here, under divine inspiration, once he comes to his senses and acts crazy, once he came to his senses, he acts crazy to get out of there. But then he goes out, he communes with God, and the Holy Spirit gives him this psalm. And he writes that the Lord, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And then he continued on with divine protection, the angel of the Lord encamping around them, and the goodness of God. Now, there's many fears. We don't have time to get into all of them. One of them is the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare in Proverbs 25 and verse 29 and verse 5. And a fear of man brings all kinds of traps, you know, depending on who it is and what you're afraid of and whatever. But the truth of the matter is we don't need to be afraid of people. We need to be wise. We might need to be wary. We don't need to be afraid. Because God is looking after us. We have divine protection. The angel of the Lord is encamping around us. Some of us have come face to face with that because we've maybe by our own foolishness or maybe just by, you know, accidental circumstances, we've come face to face with death, maybe even more than once, and realized, oh my goodness, an angel showed up and spared me. I should have been dead, but I'm not. In fact, I don't have a scratch on me. But, you know, we've become, at certain moments of time, if that hasn't happened to you yet, well, yeah, maybe your hair won't be as white as mine. But anyways, but the fear is part of the human experience. Jesus taught us not to be afraid of men. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Read verses 24 through 28. Matthew 10, 24, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Now, I don't know if anybody's called you a devil yet, but it might happen. They called Jesus a devil. And if you follow Jesus, those that hate Jesus and think evil of Jesus, they'll think evil of you. And he said, but don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. If the persecution may come to America, our brothers and sisters in other places, their lives are on the line. Every time they open their mouth with the gospel, some of them are very, very careful about who they share with. Others are more bold and risking their lives openly and ending up in jail and martyred. Unless you get the voice of the martyrs and you read that on a regular basis, it's pretty foreign to us. I do recommend that. I've done that many times, the voice of the martyrs. He says, therefore, do not fear them. Verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So here he brings out that the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the This is reverential fear towards God will always bring us into faith, obedience, doing what's right, being courageous, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But being afraid of people and what they might do, it's going to bring a snare. It's going to shut our mouths, shut us down, make cowards out of us if we let it. And we need to understand, you know, our Lord. I've actually thought, if I have any choice of if I'm going to die, because we might go up in the rapture, if I could choose, which we can't, my two favorite choices. One, I would love to die saving somebody else's life. I would, if I could do that, like, Lord, let me do that. Save some, hopefully a younger person, somebody that'll follow Christ. If I could save their life and sacrifice my own, I would, like, hallelujah. You know, if that ever happens, you know, hey, you got his way. Or as a martyr. And I would love to just, I just want to say those words, make my day. Just, you know, but let me witness to you first so you end up where I'm going, because I'm going to heaven and I don't know about you. So before you kill me, just let me share this with you because I want to see you in heaven. I would love to die. If I'm going to die, you know, I mean, there's lots of ways I don't want to die. You know, in fact, I was at a bedside of a woman who, she may be home with the Lord. She was in the process of dying when I visited her last night. I don't know, 90s maybe? I don't know. Old. I don't want to get that old unless I can be really healthy and skiing and whatever. I don't want to be laying in a bed just waiting to die. But we don't have that choice. It happens to a lot of people. Hopefully, I'll get my way. And that won't happen to me. But we don't know. I've already purposed, though, if it happens to me, I'm just going to praise God with every breath. So Jesus is teaching us to shout it from the housetops. We have a good news. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That is good news. To pay for our sins so we can be with him forever. That is good news. We need to be shouting it from the housetops everywhere we can, wherever we have an audience. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, Paul writes about very real troubles. I mean, they were trying to kill him. They were chasing him down. He's getting shipwrecked, beat with rods, thrown in prison, stoned either to death or almost to death. I mean, he had some real problems with the persecution, you know, because he was shouting from the housetops. He was preaching the gospel everywhere he went, starting churches, and the devil hated it, and the people that the devil could influence, and they're still around today, the people that are in the control of the devil, some of them willingly, knowingly, most of them not. Most of them, they don't even know what's driving them. They've been taken captive by the devil, and they don't even know it. So he had real troubles, and as he's writing in 2 Corinthians 7, he writes about troubles without and fears within. So he's just being really honest. Here he is, he's the apostle, bold as a lion as he's preaching, but the fear was there, fears within. So fear comes to me, comes to you. What are we going to do with it? That's the question. Are we going to let it take residence, or are we going to believe God and let him deliver us from all our fears, because he wants to, including the fear of death, but anything else in between. Let's just consider some wrong actions that came as a result of fear. And if we don't let God comfort us and deliver us, fear will cause us to do the wrong things too. Adam, first transgressor. I mean, Eve sinned, but that was because she was beguiled. Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. He didn't even have to be fooled by the devil. The devil took advantage of Eve. She believed the lie, and she violated what was told to her. But Adam did it with his eyes wide open. It's like, I'm going to eat this fruit and die with you. I don't know why you did this, honey, but I'm going to do it too. Chomp. Why? He was afraid of being alone, afraid of loneliness. And, you know, nobody wants to be alone. The truth of the matter is we cannot be alone. We might feel alone, but if we're a child of God, we're never alone, because the Son is living within us. The Spirit is living within us. So two members of the Trinity are living within us. And through the unity of the Trinity, the Father's with us too. So we can't really be alone. But we want fellowship. That's one of the reasons we're here tonight, fellowship. But Adam was afraid of being without his wife. And then, once he ate it, then they were both afraid because they realized, uh-oh, we're naked. It was never a problem before, but all of a sudden now it's a problem because they got old sin natures. You know, if we didn't have old sin natures, you know, we won't be naked in heaven. We're going to have white robes. We probably wouldn't need them, but, you know, it's a symbol of righteousness, and heaven would be weird if we were walking around naked. But anyways, but Adam and Eve walked around naked, and it wasn't a problem until they had a sin nature. And then it was a problem. So fig leaves is the answer? Not really. But they're still afraid of God, because they're afraid of, we know fig leaves aren't the answer. And we got consequences here, and we're going to die. We don't know what that means, but it's going to happen. It's bad. Fear. So they're hiding from God because of fear. Now he coaxes them out, calls them out, and they overcome their fear. I would imagine the Lord's tone of voice must have been very comforting. Adam, where are you? Not like, Adam, where are you? I don't think it was like that. Otherwise, they would have run farther. But he coaxed them out. They realized, you know, we're loved. We're bad, but we're loved. And so out they come. How about Abraham's fear? Abraham, afraid of dying. My wife is gorgeous. They want her. They're going to kill me. Oh, I got to lie. You got to lie with me. And half a lie, half a lie is really a whole lie. Twice he does this. Why? Because he's afraid to die. Now, if he had thought it through, he would realize, I can't die. I got a promise from God. I'm going to be the father of many nations. I can't die. Got to have a bunch of kids. And especially one, the son of promise. So he had Ishmael, but then he had Isaac, the one that mattered most, the son of the promise. But then afterwards, he had another wife and more kids. So many nations came from, not just the nation of Israel. The Ishmaelites came from him, but many nations. But he didn't think it through. He thought, they're going to kill me. She's gorgeous. I'm dead, man. Fear. And he's the father of our faith. But when fear got a hold of him, he did the wrong thing. He'd get rebuked for it. And I think it's funny because not only did he get rebuked, he also got blessed. He got richer every time he lied. It's like, that's the grace of God. But how about David's fear? He was afraid of dying. What if he didn't take his wife Michal's advice? What if he said, your father can't kill me because I'm going to be king when he's not. So I can't die. But he didn't think it through. So he ran for his life. And he kept on running. And he had moments of... Now this is the same David that went up against Goliath, charging this Goliath and took his head off. So at one moment he's totally courageous. And the next moment he's running for his life. And running for years. And a couple of times when he did confront Saul and showed Saul, your life was in my hands. I could have killed you, but I have respect for you. You're the Lord's anointed. He proved, Saul, I am not a threat to you. I will honor you as my king, but as long as you're going to hunt me and chase me down, I'm going to run. He could have come out and said, listen, you can't kill me. Don't even try. Try if you want, but you can't kill me because I'm going to be king when you're done. I'm not going to kill you. I proved it. I could have killed you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to let you live for as long as God lets you live, you're going to live. And when you're done, I'll be king. But he didn't think it through. So fear drove him, and he had to be a fugitive all that time. How about Elijah? If you think David's bizarre, Elijah, one day he's on Mount Carmel. He's facing 850 false prophets that were demonized, cutting themselves, yelling and screaming. And he's mocking them. He's like, hey, where's your God? Is he falling asleep, taking a powder? He's like mocking 850 demonized false prophets. And then he's calling down fire from heaven. And the next day, he's running from Jezebel? Like, this is crazy stuff. But it's true. And the truth of the matter is, we can be that crazy. If we let fear get a hold of us and drive us and motivate us to do the wrong stuff, it may not look as crazy as Elijah, but it is. It's just as crazy. If we believe what the Bible says in Romans 8:28, that God is working all things together for our good, all things, bad stuff, good stuff, in between, he's working all things together for our good, we got nothing to be afraid of. It's like, whatever, if we believe it. If we walk by faith, then fear can't get a hold of it. It might come and visit, but we just, no, doesn't belong here. Peter's fear caused him to deny the Lord 3 times. 1 minute he's saying, I'm ready to die with you. And the moment it looks like it might even be a possibility, he's like, I don't even know the guy. I don't know what you're talking about. fear. And then he's out weeping bitterly. Why? Because he let fear of dying with Jesus control him. And then he's out weeping, ashamed. So fears are unreasonable for us as children of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, because I'm stretching the time here a little, I'm just going to quote you the verses. You can write them down, read them, but 2 Timothy 1, 7, most of you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that word there, fear, can be translated timidity or cowardice, fearful. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And the word there for power is dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite. It's like explosive power, like kaboom power. Like, look out, you know, you don't get in the way of this power because it's going to overpower you. Dunamis, he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So we make right decisions. So we think it through, think with God according to his word, and get divine guidance for our life, and then do the right thing, which might be courageous. But it's and it might look risky, but it's not really. It's obedience to God. What's the risk factor? And if we die, we're home with Jesus, maybe sooner than we thought. Is that so bad? I don't think so. Power, love, and a sound mind. Sophronismo is the Greek word for a sound. We think right with God, a sound mind. A couple more verses and we'll call it a night. But Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 tells us that Jesus became a man so he could die to take away our sins by paying our penalty. The penalty for sin is death. So Jesus came to die in our place to take the penalty for our sin, and in conquering death, set us free from the fear of death. We don't have to be afraid of dying. And the truth of the matter is, you cannot die 1 second before God allows you to. Or 1 second later, for that matter. It's not going to happen. If we believe in providence, we didn't determine our birthday, and we don't determine the day we die. And in our case, we might not die. We might just, I'm still hoping. I think we got a good shot at it. I think it's later than we think it is on the prophetic time clock. But no one knows. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm going to die, I'd really rather die younger than older. Not right away, but, you know, not 90s, unless I'm super healthy. There are a few people. I don't know if I have those genes, but, yeah, you know. It's hello, Jesus. That's what death is for us. It's, oh, my goodness, face to face. Here we are. Heaven at last. That's what death is. It's not like, oh, no, the casket, or people are afraid of, you know, don't. I don't know if I should share this. Probably not. But I'm going to anyways, like I usually do. So, because it'll get you to pray. It'll get you to pray for my mother-in-law, who's a darling lady who has prayed to receive Christ, but she can't remember it, I don't think. So she calls my wife, and she says, don't bury me. Please don't bury me. Have me cremated. She's like afraid of, like, she's going to get buried alive, and who knows. It's like, don't worry. Which used to be a problem. You know, I guess you hear those stories back before they embalmed people. It's like, you know, that's one reason why they embalm people, because, you know, that's make sure they're dead before they get buried. But, well, we have another gal, I won't mention her name, but she's a dear, sweet sister in Christ. She was afraid of getting in a plane because if the plane crashed over the ocean, she was afraid of getting eaten by sharks. It's like, you aren't going to care. You aren't going to care if you eat my sharks or minnows, your fish food anyways, one way or the other. But fears are that unreasonable. They're crazy. Now, there are some, on the other hand, you know, don't run out in traffic just to, you know, see what happens when you get hit by a bus either. I'm not talking about being stupid, but I did, oh my goodness, it wasn't that long ago that came up in a sermon, and I talked about it. One way I don't want to die is I don't want to die stupid. And then I remembered one of my friends got hit by a bus. And I'm gonna see him in heaven, and he's gonna say, "You were talking about me, weren't you?" I'm gonna say, "No, I forgot." But Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. If you still have the fear of death, he hasn't got you where he wants you yet. He wants to deliver you from the fear of death. We'll close with 1 John 4, verses 16 through 19. So, in an age where the truth of the matter is, between some government officials and the mainstream news media, they want the whole, all of America and the world to, like, live in fear. It's like, no. You know, it worked, you know, I think it worked on most of us for a little while. And then we're like, wait a second, I don't know if they're even telling me the truth, not the whole truth, not all the time. But, the truth of the matter is there is a danger in this disease and many other diseases, that's true. But God, and to live in fear. I'm not saying don't take precautions. And again, be sensitive. If somebody wears a mask, if you're going to go near them, you should put a mask on out of loving respect. And so my usual greeting is, what do you want, air hugs or bear hugs? Whatever you want, I don't care. Unless you're sick, in that case, it's air hugs for you. But so if you're sick, stay home. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. There's a difference between knowing, head knowledge, and believing. That is adhering to, abiding in, trusting in the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Perfect. So fears come. I'm going to close with this. Fears come. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to me. They might come tonight. And sometimes they're like low-level anxieties. They're not like terror, you know, just like, well, what am I going to do about this? And this could happen. And that could, you know, low-level anxiety. It comes to me. What are we going to do with it? This is what we got to do with it. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? This is on my mind. It's occupying my mind. I'm bringing it to you. And you don't want me to be fearful. So either you're going to take care of it, or you want me to do something about it. I'll do my part. Just show me what you want me to do and take action. But receive wisdom from God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So whenever fear comes, just say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And then do our part. And trust, he will do his part. We're the problem factor. We're the wild card. You know, will we do our part? Well, if we can figure it out, if we get wisdom from God, and we have the faith to do it, well, we can do our part. And then we get to see the glory of God. But he'll do his part. So don't let fear control you, especially in this time when so many are fraught with fear. Again, be loving, be kind, and if they have a sense of humor, have a little fun with it. If they don't, probably better not try it. They'll think you're being callous. But perfect love. Let perfect love lead us, guide us, draw us, displace the fear, and give us wisdom to take action. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord. We have many opportunities to love people with your love, to serve people with your love, to comfort people that are freaking out, that need comfort. And some are your children that they just need to be loved and understood and given godly counsel with love. And those that aren't saved, Father, they're afraid of the wrong stuff. They're afraid of a disease, and they should be afraid of death and hell. Lord, help us to bring the good news to them and help them realize that you have a plan for their life, that when they do die, whenever that may be, from whatever cause, they'll be with you. They have nothing to fear. Father, and this is on Facebook, maybe streaming live. So if you're watching on Facebook, if you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you, do it. If you can do it with me right now, do it even now. But if not now, as soon as you can, pray something like this. Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. I receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen. And if you are praying that for the very first time, get a hold of us, contact us. We would love to get you a New Testament, our gift to you. You can find us on our Facebook page, on our church website, but we'd love to celebrate with you and welcome you into the family of God. And everybody else, thanks so much. I took a few extra minutes tonight. Oh, well. Wow.